And now that we have you here, I'm going to start on a two-hour-long sermon. So deacons, bar the doors. No. So I want to first give the Lord thanks for this year's VBS experience. It truly has been a blessing for us here at the church. And as many of you know, this is my second month as the pastor here. I like to Pedro Baptist Church, and it was an honor to really see these kids, who I really only see once or twice a week at a regular basis, but it was a blessing to see them every morning, and it was also a blessing to see them leave at 12:30 every day as well. So, thank the Lord for that. But this week has been one where we explored the concept of, if your ears might be ringing at the word, magnifying the Lord. Right? I'm pretty sure you can't leave here without understanding that that's one of the big words that we had. The concept of magnifying the bigness of God in the smallest of things. And I really want to spend some time building on that truth. Building on that here this morning. And I hope that this short sermon, I'm really working on it, guys. A short sermon will be a blessing and encouragement for us all. So again, throughout this week, we have had Psalm 34, verse 3 as our theme verse. And it reads, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." And now, I recognize that we can read that verse and think that it's pretty obvious that's what's being said there, that we ought to praise the Lord. If you said that in a Bible study class, you would get A+. That's what the verse is saying. I think that's common knowledge. And then we could conclude that David, who's the writer of this psalm, is expressing a desire here. And what is that desire? It is one of magnifying and exaltation. David desires for all to magnify, to ascribe the greatness of the Lord. He connects this with the idea of exalting, which can be rendered to praise someone. And if you don't know what praise means, praise is to express honor and adoration. So we put these building blocks together to come to a conclusion and see David is calling for the remembrance, the contemplation of the greatness of God. And by the way, that's everything about God. Everything about God is great. And connected with such magnification of God is what ought to follow, which is the praise towards him. We look at a painting, usually paintings that I don't paint, but people who are good at painting. And we magnify the creativity of the painter when we consider how refined the brush strokes are, the uniqueness of their color palette, the subject matter that they chose, and we then praise the painter for the work that they've done. And then we can go on with music. We listen to a song and we magnify the musical genius of the artist. We hear the handcrafted beats, or I guess digital beats now, the masterful use of instruments and the profound lyrics, sometimes profound, sometimes they're just trash, right? But the profound lyrics, and we praise the musician. We look at not just God's work, but all things, for he is the creator of all things, and see how it magnifies his greatness, goodness, his love, his justice, and we can go on and on and listing the different attributes. Such an act of consideration regarding God can be like a new log on a fire. It can keep a heart of exaltation aflame. And I want you to notice that David isn't just talking about those over there and not himself. David includes himself here. He wants people to join him in magnifying the Lord. David opens the psalm with the words, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Before he welcomes others, he first must be seeking praises to his God and King. We, in turn, as believers, need to do the same. And consider, before we call others to magnify the Lord our God, whether we are doing so ourselves. Before we ask our children to praise the Lord God Almighty, are you leading by example? before we tell anybody to sing praises to our God and King, are we doing so? Are you personally taking up the call that we are to lift up praise to God? And will we answer and can truly say yes? When we grow in such a way, then we feel a compulsion to invite others to do the same thing. It's like when people discover the ketogenic diet. That's still popular, right? Okay, keto. All right. Or its extreme version, the carnivore diet. Is that still popular? I think so, right? Meat prices would show that it is popular. People are just buying off the shelf. So when you've met somebody who is doing keto and carnivore, it seems like the only thing they can talk about is keto and carnivore. Their life is consumed by this trendy new culinary practice. It's like, oh, I only eat grass-fed butter and this, and I only eat sticks of it. It's like, what are you doing? And they want others to join them. You should do this. Do this with me. How little of importance, truly, is diets when we compare it to the adoration of the Lord, something that we sometimes are silent about? How much more should we be desiring others to join us in exalting the Lord than we are about how much meat one is eating? Not to say, and don't leave here with me saying this, not to say diets and health are not important. They are. But they are not as important as our proper magnification of the Lord. And saying that, I know what some of us are thinking. You're saying to yourself, okay, I track with the pastor what the preacher is saying regarding praise, that we all should do it, and all that. But how can he say that I'm supposed to do it? How can he say that? Because he's never experienced what I experience. And I think I've got a reason why I can't praise the God. If he knew about what I'm going through right now, he wouldn't expect me to praise God. And I want to start off to say, I don't know what you're experiencing. You're right. I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. I'm not given all knowledge. I can give a universal answer regarding you feeling the effects and the weight of sin. I can lead it back to that. I don't know what you specifically are going through. But I'm not foolish enough to say, I know exactly what you're going through. What I am going to say that God knows. And Christ knows our suffering, as the scriptures teach us, and understands every weakness of ours. I don't point to myself, I point to Christ. So while I don't know your experience, I and we as believers should always point to he who does know. What I can also do is once again bring up verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. David does not say, I will bless the Lord only during those times when I feel like I'm on cloud 9. David doesn't stop his mouth from singing praises to God and only opens it when things are going well. He doesn't do that. It is all the time that he desires to bless the Lord. He desires a mouth that continually praises God. And this is his desire and is included in his invitation to us all. His call to magnify the Lord and exalt his name through all times, good and bad. But Pastor, how can I glorify God, praise him through those bad times? Well, how about this reason, and it's part me being a little cheeky, but also me being brutally honest. We ought to still praise and magnify God when times are bad because he is still God and still worthy of all praise. The fact that God is God means we ought to praise him. So hear me also say, and this is, I think, what I spend a little bit more time on. Hear me also say that when I tell you that bad times have been used as wake-up calls for so many who now profess faith in Christ, hear me when I say that bad times have been used by the Lord God Almighty to bring many to Christ. Rock bottom has a way of humbling people, leading to the realization that they need something outside of themselves for salvation, that they need Christ. and realize this, that as a sinner, God has every right to punish us right here and right now, full stop. Yet he does not. He shows grace that is common to us all. He doesn't just withhold his full and complete wrath, but he continues to provide for all. We who are habitual breakers of his word, yet he still gives us our daily bread. His grace goes even further, and there is that special grace that is given to all those who call on the name of Jesus and profess him to be Lord and Savior. This helping of special grace and mercy that we so desperately need is called salvation. It is redemption. And there are several reasons for why God is worthy of all praise all the time, but the point is made, and hopefully I hope that there's a conviction of the Holy Spirit in you, tugging on you, tugging on us, causing us to think about the reality that we all ought to pursue lives that magnify God and exalt his name, but we fail to do so, and we fail to do so perfectly. The fact that we struggle in doing this points to the need that we need Christ, whose blood washes away our sin. And now I want us to move back to something I said earlier, back to the idea of you making time to worship God and to extend on that by us setting the example. The example is not just of one who exalts the one true God, but being an example of one who takes it, among other things, seriously. In verse 11, in God's word, we read, "Come, O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord." Now, this is David still writing, and he takes on the language of a father who desires to teach his children who ought to listen to him. His desire is to teach about the fear of the Lord, which means teaching them a sort of reverence that leads to respecting, obeying, and submitting to God. This is not to be understood as an emotional fear, but an attitude of one's heart and mind that causes him to walk in obedience to the Lord's will and his ways. He desires to instruct people and do so in a way that they might learn from his life. He points to, in the beginning, how he desires to bless the Lord, to ascribe greatness to him, and to sing praises to God. He desires to teach more than that as well. He goes on to say in verse 14, "Turn away from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it." And I want to make it clear here that this is not just David's words. This is not just man telling us something. Like, this is a fortune cookie saying. But it is our holy God who wants us to turn from evil and do good. And God is good. He's saying, turn to me. He wants us to seek peace and pursue it. And who is the Prince of Peace? Christ. Seek Christ. Pursue Christ. And what is so great about the practice of magnifying our great holy God is that when we truly consider how he keeps things spinning and how he is faithful, is that when we grow in our understanding of such things, it does grow us in our desire to be pursuers of peace, turning from evil and doing good. It is an outcome, therefore, of biblical thankfulness. Not just thankfulness that we see in the world, but what God considers to be true thankfulness. That we grow in our desire to do what God desires, which includes being used in his hands for others to learn from. And let me take this moment to talk to the parents here for a moment. Parents, and I'm talking to myself because I am a parent. You saw me grab a kid. That's mine, okay? That's not just a random kid, okay? Parents, we need to be intentional in raising our kids and making sure they know who God is. We at Lake Don Pedro Baptist Church just spent 5 mornings with your kids.
Thank you, amen. Yes.
All I'm not going to say any jokes. I'm just going to leave it there. Amen. So 5 mornings, but the majority of the time they spend with you. The majority of their spiritual instruction will most likely, or dare I say, should be coming from their parents. We may think that what we are doing is too much, going, okay, they can't handle this. But they can handle more than we think. We just have to communicate it to them in a way they will understand. Tell them that mama and dada are not perfect. Tell them all of us struggle with sin. Don't ever claim that you are perfect, but continually be pointing to them, to he who is perfect, who is Jesus Christ. Go, parents, we can do this. Be pursuers of peace. Show your children that you are pursuers of peace, which ultimately leads us to the feet of the Prince of Peace, who is Jesus Christ. And that is a powerful lesson to teach our children about the goodness of God and what he desires. It is powerful to show our children that you and I, we parents, have been humbled by the Lord God Almighty, that we have been given salvation through Christ alone, that even though we desire that which is pleasing to the Lord, we still have a lot of growing in, both the knowledge of God, both in Scripture, knowledge of that which is pleasing to the Lord, and the actual doing that which is pleasing to him. Show them that you care about God's word. And I want to add this here as well, because I think there's a little danger that once I start talking about the parents, all the non-parents are like, scot-free, we're done. That if there are those of us who are thinking that this doesn't apply to them because they don't have children or the children have long ago flew away from the nest, don't be too hasty. We are all called to be pursuers of peace, not just parents. And dare I say, not even Christians, all, to turn from evil, we are all called to as well. We are all called, now Christians, to sharpen each other's irons. So there is, for example, the instruction from each other. Those spiritually mature brothers and sisters in Christ that have been part of the church for years and they have grown in their knowledge, where they go, hey, can you give me a Bible verse on this? They're like, well, I can give you 5 different Bible verses on this. Or I've struggled in this area. I can help you with this. Spiritually mature, that might take you or I or someone else off to the side and give them gospel truth and wisdom. Brother, let me give you an example. Like, brother, I think you really need to consider what the Bible says about lust. I know it's hard. Many have struggled with it. I've struggled with it too. This is what helped me, and then begins to teach them and disciple that young saint. Older saints seeking to aid a younger brother in Christ in his pursuit of doing that which honors the Lord. Boom. Using the life the Lord has given him for instructive purposes. How about another one? Sister, I know you're struggling with lying. I would be glad to be your accountability partner or friend or whatever word you want to use. So those are just 2 examples how you are still used and you don't have children. Examples of encouraging one another, and we ought to listen to one another with the biblical wisdom given. We are all called, again, parents and non-parents, to be pursuers of peace and to turn away from sin. We're all called to pursue the Prince of Peace and to turn to God. We're all called to do so, and even those who are running the race, parents and non-parents alike, will struggle in this race. We'll often fall like we're tripping over our own 2 feet, but we continue on. And that is the important lesson to teach, that while we are simultaneously sanctified, that we have been justified through faith alone in Christ Jesus, we still have indwelling sin inside of us, and we still feel the effects of sin, and boy, do we struggle. But we cast our burdens before the Lord God Almighty. And what do I mean by this? Well, I'll do my best to explain in the short amount of time we have using verse 19. Verse 19 reads, "Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." The Lord knows our afflictions. He knows your afflictions. Like I said, I don't know all of yours, and perhaps I'm still blinded to all of my own. I pray, Lord, snuff out the sin inside of me. I'm still blinded to all of my own afflictions. And then the Holy Spirit will reveal them to me. And I go, let's get to work. We have a great many afflictions that can come in a variety of shapes and sizes and severity and durations. But I ask you all, what is the root of all of our affliction? And I tell you that sin is the root. Believe me when I tell you that we are sinners, that if left in such a state and we stood before God with the stain of sin upon us, we would face, deservingly so, the perfect justice of God, his perfect judgment, and his perfect wrath. But what are we to do? What are we to do in that situation? Well, we don't look to ourselves. That's for sure. That's a recipe for disaster. Verse 19 says, "The Lord delivers the righteous from all their afflictions." How did he do so? Through he who is called the great deliverer. The way God redeems his people is through the Son who is called the great redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen. He bore our afflictions, our sin, and on the cross he died for us, thereby paying the sin debt. Our deliverance from the bondage of sin is found in him. And without Christ, we would carry our sin burden to that day of judgment and be left to stand before the Almighty Holy God alone. Yet those who confess that they are a sinner and that Christ is Lord can come with blessed comfort, knowing through the covering of the blood of the Lamb they are deemed righteous. Amen. By the power of Jesus Christ, they are forgiven. They can be rest assured that God provides for us. He provides not just our daily bread, the things that we need to survive on a daily basis, but he provided himself for our salvation. And to go full circle back to the theme of last week, as we look at the deliverance found in Christ, we see perhaps the ultimate example of the mercy and grace of God shown to us. And therefore, that ultimate example ought to lead us to the magnification and the exaltation of the Lord. As we consider how God so loved the world that the second person of our triune God came down to hold to the law perfectly and die for us, being the blood shed for thee, us, Christ, dying for us. How could we keep from saying, "Oh God, I exalt thee. Oh God, I exalt thee." And I want you to join us in saying, "Oh God, I exalt thee." Therefore, with much love and care for you and your family, I present to you, you see these cards are in the back of the seats, right? You might have been handed some cards earlier. I made sure Friday evening that every card, every seat had a card, okay? And I desire a couple of people to fill this out, okay? And the way that you'll bring it back to us is that we have these plates in the back. Those who have an offering that you might have noticed we didn't do the offering in the middle of the service. There's an offering plate in the back. You can put it in there. But if you have these cards filled out, and I'll explain what I would desire from these cards, you can put them in those plates as well. So when I was writing this sermon, I had a couple groups of mind that I prayed about. First and foremost, I am thinking of the people who are not yet believers in Christ. If you are here because your kids wanted to be here, and after hearing about Christ and salvation that is found in him, there is that desire to hear more about Christ, hear about the gospel, then I encourage you, I plead with you, to fill out the card. And to be honest, if you have a desire to talk about it today, right after service, I am here. There are others here. I know there are several people that are just chomping at the bit to talk about Christ with you. I would praise God if someone came up after service and said to me, "Pastor, I confess that I am a sinner. What must I do to be saved?" But I also understand that there are others that need some time, that this might all be new, or you're like, I'm not quite there yet, but I am curious. I want to learn more. Still fill it out. Don't wait any longer. Second, I think of those who profess faith in Christ, who may have had some church experience in their life, but stopped going a long time ago. That they might have been raised in the church, but life drew them away, and they never really got plugged into a church, so they're wandering. I invite you to consider being part of our church. Take this as my personal invitation to be part of our church here in Lake Don Pedro. And if not our church, then another Bible-based church. Although I'm biased to ours for obvious reasons, okay? Christians are not called to be lone wanderers of the faith, but instead are told to not forsake the assembly of the church. So I also believe that the Lord brought your kids to VBS last week and even brought you here today to hear the sermon, to hear the gospel, to experience what our church is like. And I pray that some of the fruit this morning is that you and your family begin taking the faith that we all commonly confess much more seriously. And that includes being part of a church and raising your children in the right fear and admonition of the Lord, as our Bible tells us. Join us. Join us. And to those who are professed believers, already plugged into our church or to another church body, and to those also who have children and have already have been instructing them in the right fear and admonition of our Lord, I have something for you as well. Let us know how best we can help you and your family grow in the knowledge of the Lord. Grow in their knowledge of the gospel. Grow in their knowledge of all the reasons we ought to worship our God, and grow in putting said knowledge into action. Let us know. And I have to be straight honest with you. Sometimes the answer is going to be, we can't do that. Why? Because the Bible says we can't do that. But let us know. Open the communication. We're in this together. And then may all of us grow in the hope and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I hope that at the end of this all, end of this week and the end of this VBS family service, you can go saying, the Bible tells us that we are to magnify the Lord and exalt him. And let us exalt our thrice holy God. That means holy, holy, holy God. And may he be magnified. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Almighty God, I give you thanks for this opportunity to preach your word and to proclaim Christ and him crucified. All of those who are here, I hope that there are many who are having question marks in their minds, or those who are convicted and want to be a part of our church or consider where they stand before you, the Almighty God. I pray that this will be used mightily and that you will use us as a church mightily for gospel work here in Lake Don Pedro Baptist Church. Lord, you answer our prayers regarding our church to be a beacon of gospel light here in this area and the surrounding areas. May we continue to be strong and faithful to your word and strong in preaching the gospel. In Christ's name we say, amen. Amen.